So have you ever had those times in your life where you've questioned God? Where you've asked the question, why? Why did this happen? Why now? Or where? Where were you, God? You failed me. I feel like I've been let down. Well, today we're going to look at the life of a young man who probably could have easily asked those very same questions. We're going to look at a young man named Joseph. Now, we're first introduced to Joseph in chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. And what we learn there is that Joseph is about 17 years old at this time. We learn that he's a favorite son of Jacob. In fact, he's shown favoritism by his father. He's given we refer to it as the coat of many colors. It's kind of like a robe they put around him. Colorful, nice robe. We also learn that Joseph is a bit of a dreamer. In fact, he likes to share his dreams with people. He might should have kept his mouth shut as he told his elder brothers that his brothers that he had a dream that they would all bow down to him. Now, I'm the younger brother. I have an older sister, and I have two brothers, 14 years older, 11 years older, and 8 years older than me. So can you imagine if I go to them one day and I say, hey, I had this dream, you guys all bowed down to me. Probably wouldn't have gone over very well. It didn't go over well with his brothers. His brothers are jealous of him. And there's this day where his father sends him out, says, go check on your brothers. He goes and as he's walking over there, they start looking at him and they say, here he comes. Oh, yeah, and look, he's wearing that coat Dad gave him. Yes. Oh, it's so colorful, isn't it? Let's do something to him. They don't know what they're going to do yet. I think, maybe we just kill him. No, let's not kill him. I got an idea. Why don't we throw him in this well until we figure out what to do with him? So they throw him in the well, and then they eat dinner while he's in the well. I mean, they're over there having a barbecue, you know? And he's down there in the well. They're not sure what they're going to do. And then a convoy of people start to pass, the Midianites, and they say, let's sell them. They take them and they sell them for 20 shekels of silver. And they take before he's carted off, they take his robe. They take an animal, they kill it, they dip his robe in the blood, they take it back to his father. And say, was this your son's robe? Seems kind of harsh. I mean, they could have at least said, our brother got hurt. You know, was this your son's robe? He said it was, and he wept, and he cried, and he mourned for his son. He said a wild animal must have attacked him. Joseph's life isn't starting out too well so far. Well, he's sold to a man named Potiphar. Sold into slavery to Potiphar. Potiphar is one of Pharaoh's officials, a captain of the guard. Something very interesting takes place. In Genesis 39, verse 2, it says that the Lord was with Joseph. Wait a second. The Lord was with Joseph? How could that be? I mean, he's thrown into a cistern while his brothers are having dinner. They sell him. Then he's sold again. He's a slave now. And the Lord's with him? Maybe I ought to rethink this whole following God thing. I mean, that doesn't sound too appealing to me. But it says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. Verse 3. When his master saw that the Lord was with him. So now he's even noticing, he's getting noticed by Potiphar, his master. knows that the Lord is with him. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. He put him in charge of all of his household. Now we're told a description of Joseph. It's kind of vague, but it says that he's well built and handsome. All right? He apparently did P90X. You know what? You know, you do that. That infomercial says you'll be well built and handsome if you do it. I haven't tried it. Trying to work on that handsome thing. He was well built and handsome. Potiphar's wife took notice of that. And so she's always trying to seduce the man. He's always resisting. And then one day, she must have been from the progressive group or something. She grabs him and says, "Come to bed with me." And he says, "No," and he runs away. And as he runs, she still has hold of his robe as he runs away. Now you notice that's the second time that somebody has held his robe. Neither time worked out very well for him. The first time his brothers take his robe from him. He's sold into slavery. This time Potiphar's wife is standing there holding the robe. He runs away. So she makes up a story. She screams, "Oh, help!" And they come running in to check on her to see what's wrong. And she says, That man tried to rape me, and he ran away when I screamed for help." So now, Potiphar isn't taken too kindly to a man trying to rape his wife, throws him into prison. Throws him into prison. We see a familiar phrase in verse 20 of Genesis 39. The second half of that verse says, "But while Joseph was there in the prison," verse 21, "the Lord was with him." Hold on. The Lord was with him. Again, with the Lord was with him? He's in prison. He's been falsely accused. And the Lord is with him. Now, if I was Joseph at this point, I'd be saying, "Where are you, God? Why is this happening to me? I did nothing wrong. Can't help it if you made me fine and debonair. Why?" But instead we're told that the Lord is with Joseph. And he's put in charge of the prison. Now while he's in the prison, this is like the Reader's Digest condensed version of the life of Joseph. Because did you realize that there's more of Genesis that talks about Joseph than it does of Abraham? That blew me away when I really looked at it and compared it. He's a significant character, or a significant part. So we're getting the condensed version. But while he's there in prison, he meets a couple of guys that have dreams. Remember, Joseph had a dream earlier. They start telling him about his dream. He's apparently attracted to people who dream. I don't know. Says, "Tell me what your dream was about." So they tell him. It was a cupbearer and a baker. Sounds like the beginning of a bad joke. A cupbearer and a baker. The cupbearer's dream, after he tells him, Joseph says, "Oh, in 3 days you're going to be restored to your duty." Only the baker says, "Man, that sounds good. I'm going to tell him my dream and see what kind of good news I can get." He probably shouldn't have. Joseph says, "That means in 3 days you're going to be beheaded and impaled." Not good news. But he told the cupbearer, "Whenever you go back to Pharaoh, will you remember me? Tell him about me." Both of these dreams, both of the interpretations that Joseph gave came true, by the way. And we're told at the beginning of chapter 41, the end of 40 chapter 40 says, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Now, it's interesting that the only person who forgot Joseph was the cupbearer. Because reading it up to this point, it seems to me, from my own perspective, that God had forgotten him. You know? I mean, he was his father's favorite son. Now, all of a sudden, he's had all this stuff happen to him. Slavery, imprisonment, falsely accused. I mean, all kinds of things. But the cupbearer is the one that forgets him. Not the Lord. The Lord was with him the entire time. Chapter 41 begins and says, when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. And he goes all around asking people, what does this dream mean? What does this dream mean? Nobody can tell him what it means. Nobody can give an answer. And all of a sudden, the cupbearer recalls, oh yeah, when I was in prison, me and the baker had some dreams. The dream was that I would be restored. It came true. And the dream was that he would be killed. That came true. This guy's name is Joseph. So the Pharaoh says, bring him to me. They're bringing Joseph to him. Joseph tells about his dream. The first part of his dream involves 7 beautiful cows. I'm sure at least 2 of them were named Angus and Flame Broiled. And he says, but these ugly cows came and they overtook the nice cows. And then it was the same thing with the harvest. The harvest was bright and plentiful, but then it was overtaken. Joseph gives them the interpretation and he says, you're going to have 7 years of feast, but it'll be followed by 7 years of famine. So he advises them to prepare, to store up, to get ready. Now I want you to notice something that he says in verse 16. When Pharaoh came to him and he said, everybody I've been asking to interpret the dream can't do it, but I'm told that you are able to do it. In chapter 41, verse 16, Joseph says, I cannot do it, but the Lord God will. That's a powerful statement. You know, that kind of sums up Joseph's life. I cannot do it, but God will. I cannot go through my life being in prison, being a slave, but God will get me through. I cannot do it, but God will. Pharaoh likes his answer. He puts Joseph in charge as his second in command. Joseph is now 30 years old. Now when his brother sold him, he was 17. He's now 30. And he's Pharaoh's second in command. The 7-year feast took place where there was an abundance. And Joseph was storing up and managing things and getting prepared for the following 7 years. 2 years into that dire famine, we see that it's really affecting everyone. And way back in his homeland, his father tells his brothers, you need to go to Egypt and buy some food for us. Well, they go and they appear before Joseph, who they don't know is Joseph. And what is the first thing they do? They bow down. Now, all these years later, Joseph's dream of his brothers bowing before him is now fulfilled. They bow before him. They don't realize it's Joseph. There's a couple of series that take place where Joseph sends them on their way. They paid a certain amount of money for the food. They go and they look in their sacks, and the money's back in their sacks. They're scared. They go back home, and then they come another time, and they're bringing They're coming to buy food. They bring money for the food plus the additional money that they tried to pay the last time just to cover it, saying maybe there was a mistake. They go there and Joseph acts harsh toward them. But it's because he had a whole plan in place. They go home. He tells them to get their younger brother, bring him back to him because he wants to see him to prove that they're not lying. He tells them to prove that you're not lying. Looking at the end of the story, we find out why he really is doing all of this. So they go home and they beg their father to let them take their youngest brother back to Joseph, back to the Pharaoh's man. After some convincing to finally do it, now he's got all of his brothers there. Now listen, we're Americans, right? We like a good revenge story. So, if you sold me into slavery, and as a result of it, I've been falsely accused of crimes I didn't commit, I've been mistreated, I've been in prison for it, when you come to me, I want revenge. I want to make you pay. I want to make you suffer. In reading this, as if you were reading it for the first time, rather than knowing the full story, maybe we're thinking, oh, he's finally going to get his revenge. He's getting them all there and he's like, I'm going to kill you all. Or, you're all going to be my slave now. But instead, we're going to learn that Joseph knows that God had a plan the entire time. The entire time, God had a plan worked out. Life is short, it's fragile, and it's uncertain. Nobody knows what tomorrow's going to bring. And we can gain a whole lot from Joseph's story if we read it the way that he lived it, with no clear idea of the future, with no big picture to guide us, with no happy ending in sight. We should read Joseph's life the way he lived it, one day at a time. Then we can kind of grasp what's going on here. Because, you know, when his brothers threw him down in that dry cistern, and they had a barbecue or whatever it was, had their dinner while he's down in there, I don't think he's thinking, you know, one day I'm going to be Pharaoh's second in command. I'm going to save all of Israel. I just don't think that that's on his mind. It wouldn't be on my mind. I know Joseph's 17, but for some reason I always picture him a lot younger. Maybe that's because when my brothers were home, I was really young. Like I said, one of my brothers is 14 years older than I am. So, I mean, you know, I'm 5 or 6 years old, and he's already gone out of the house. So I'm always, whenever it has to do with brothers and sisters or anything, I'm always picturing myself as a little kid. So I'm down in the well going, when I get out of here, you're in big trouble, mister. You know, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I'm not thinking, I'm going to be Pharaoh's second in command and I'm going to save you, even though you did this to me. You know what Joseph needed throughout his life? He needed a big God. When you've been betrayed by your brothers, a small God won't do. When you've been falsely accused of rape, a medium God won't be enough to support you. When you've been forgotten in prison, an average God will not sustain you. You need a big God. You need a God whose ways are vast beyond all understanding. You need a God whose purposes span for generations. You need a God who cannot be stopped by the evil deeds done by evil men. And we have a God like that. Because the God of Joseph is our God too. He's our Lord too. Joseph needed a big God to get him through each and every day of his life. And we need it too. We need a God that's too big to understand. Whenever we start to understand God, then our God is way too small. So I need the why God moments to understand that God's in control and He has a plan. I need the where are you God moment to know that He's bigger than anything I can come up with. Because my thoughts are small. And I don't serve a small God. I serve a big God. Now, I do find it interesting that there are some parallels between the life of Joseph and the life of Jesus. Have you ever noticed that? Notice some of these. Joseph was loved by his father, but he was hated by his brothers and sisters. By his brothers and sisters. He was sold for 20 pieces of silver. He was falsely accused. He was judged guilty of a crime he did not commit. He was abandoned and forgotten, but he was promoted after suffering. And he provided the means of salvation even for the ones who betrayed him. We can learn from this story, from the life of Joseph, that in those dark moments of life, when we ask, why or where are you, God? We can learn something. When people look at us and they say, where is your God? Has He forgotten you? When we remain faithful, we can be assured that we have never been closer to the heart of God. It's in those moments when we feel betrayed, forgotten, sold out, imprisoned, that God is most with us. We get the famous line in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Or you may have heard it, you intended it for evil, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, saving many lives. Now, after some time, especially after his family has moved to Egypt and they're given land, and Joseph's father dies, his brothers still haven't quite forgiven themselves. And they're going, now that our father is dead, what if Joseph remembers all that we did to him and he tries to take us? See, they still haven't forgiven themselves for that. Even though Joseph did. Because he had the heart of God. So he says in verse 24, Joseph says to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land He promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What did He just tell them? The Lord was with you. The Lord is with you. We've been reading over and over in here how the Lord was with Joseph. And now Joseph is telling his brothers, the Lord is with you. I'm about to die, I'm about to go on, but the Lord is with you, and He will take care of you. The Lord was with Joseph, and He's with us too. Even though we don't understand His ways, even though we have those why God moments, even though we hurt, and we cry, even though we have these pains in our life that rip at us, God is with us, just as He was with Joseph. And perhaps it's in those moments that God has never even been closer to us. I know in my own life, that it's those moments when I've really come and I've struggled with God that I realized He was actually closer, it felt like, than ever. Just reaching out His hand, saying, come on, buddy, take it. I love the scripture that says the arm of the Lord is not too short. The problem is, I just don't like to reach very far. The Lord was with Joseph. Joseph reminds his brothers, the Lord is with you. And the story is recorded to remind us, the Lord is with us. I have really enjoyed being with you this morning. And we're going to have a song. And if you need to respond in any way, if you need some prayers, if you're just really struggling and you need us to spend some time with you, we'd love to do that. And ask you guys to stand and sing with us.